Welcome to South Haven Business Beat, exploring business from the top of Mississippi. Business and community leaders talk with us to provide invaluable resources to aid the business community. And now, here's your host, Robbie Yates.
How you doing? Welcome back. Thank you for listening in and tuning in to another episode of South Haven Business Beats. I'm your host, Robbie Yates, and today I'm really looking forward to diving in with Rob and Josiah here, and they're with DAI, not DIA, DAI, which is DeSoto Arts Institute, and learning more about the two incredible individuals. So thank you both for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know if people can see this or not. I'll hold this up. This here is the DeSoto Film Festival that's going on. It's actually coming up in November the 2nd, 3rd, 3rd and 4th next month. And it's actually the third time, the third, fifth.
Third annual.
Yep.
We skipped a year, did it.
I got COVID in there. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. Absolutely.
The years we don't speak of.
Yeah, we all get a skip year, I think, for that one.
So. Absolutely. So what was the inspiration for the film festival? I know there's a lot to do with that, but I mean, what inspired that?
We are filmmakers, and we teach filmmaking through DeSoto Arts Institute. So as we make films and submit them to festivals around the world, it's pretty exciting for us, right? And we've traveled and been to some film festivals, met some people. And sometimes film festivals, you depending on your worldview, things get a little kind of weird. And it's like, do I really want to sit through the rest of this film? So our film festival is clean, wholesome, family friendly. So that's, you know, that's what we're doing, trying to provide a entertaining film festival experience for the whole family.
Yeah, I love that. You're going to add something to that?
Yeah, or? I was going to say a lot of why we wanted to start this was to, we wanted to give young people like something to look forward to, like show them what they could do with film. So a lot of the films that we'll program are students from all over the world, some from the Mid-South that they just started making stuff and they keep going and going. They wind up making good like quality content. So that's kind of part of it too, was to inspire our own students to, hey, you could do this.
Yeah.
And he mentions quality films. Anytime you say student film, people think, ugh.
Yeah.
But we are curating. We're curating the films that come in to submit it to us and picking the best quality, best storytelling, making it really entertaining. So we don't have an agenda that we want to show something just because we think it's cool. It's like we're trying to really pick films that are going to, you know, a whole audience is going to just absolutely enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. So you kind of touched on about far as the storytelling. What stands out the most when somebody's making a film? Is it the storytelling, or is it the way that, you know, a certain angle, a certain way the camera is, or like the overall sequence of events? Like, what's the best thing that you see, or does it encompass everything?
So we've seen some pretty bad production quality films at festivals, and the story is king. And we say it all the time: the story is king. We serve the story when we're out making a film. If I'm directing it, I'm not the boss. The story's the boss. We have to get a good story. And we've seen some bad production value and things like that, but the story comes through.
Yeah, and with what we're doing is we're, you know, me and Rob both Christians, and in the film festival, like, realm, it's very hard to, like, exist in that realm because a lot of them are very anti-faith. And so we're very like pro-faith. We're very, you know, we want to see those stories that, you know, put that kind of faith in action in their storytelling.
Yeah.
And it's not always a Christian film that we would pick. In fact, when we make films, we know our faith is going to show up in there, but we don't try to make you know, faith-based films per se.
Most of our films,
kind of a turn off to some people.
Yeah, most of what we do is not like someone dropping to their knees and like nailing God, you know. But they all have like faith elements, you know, just what we believe and is wholesome and moral in there.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking for too when we program the rest of these shorts, is what is a good message that, you know, we want our young filmmakers to look to, and what messages do they want to start telling, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. And y'all mentioned too about the students. How many students do y'all have, and do you help kind of, how long do y'all work with them to help guide them and mentorship to move on to the next phase?
Well, earlier this year we started our Film School 101 program, and that's our first time we have had a more organized, formal film school. And it's still kind of loose because we are hands-on. We nobody likes to sit in a classroom, so we kind of trick them and get them in the studio and talk about some things. But we took 30 students. We've lost four or five students over the year. We're teaching from starting with story conception, just getting ideas out and throwing them down and testing them out, to proper screenwriting format and actually writing a film. And then we move all the way through the pre-production, the production, the post-production, talking about marketing, distribution. Our film festival is part of the program.
Yeah.
Our students are going to volunteer at the festival, so they're getting a feel for an understanding of how to get started, how to wrap it up. And at some point in there, you're thinking about the next project as well. So they're getting pretty well-rounded education.
Yeah, yeah. And then next year, we're planning on doing different workshops. So instead of doing a year-long program, we're going to do like multiple 2 to 3 month programs that are going to specialize in like screenwriting, cinematography, editing, that kind of thing. So that's something that we'll put up applications for pretty soon.
Yeah.
For people to start seeing if that's something they want to be a part of.
Oh, I like that. So if somebody wasn't they were, like you said, the screenwriting or screenplay, they don't want to be a director and like, hey, this may be interest. They can kind of gravitate towards that.
Right. Yeah. That's something we learned in this year was there's a lot of people that want to do one specific thing with film. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of like, we wear all the hats because in order to make film, you kind of have to.
Yeah.
But there are people that just want to write, or they just want to do cinematography, or they just want to do sound. Mm-hmm. So we're going to try specializing in that and giving people an opportunity to really flesh that out.
Yeah.
Make it easier for them. We had at least one person I know wanted to be an editor, so they sat through, and we haven't gotten to the editing phase because we're shooting the film.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to wait from January to now to get to editing. Right. So it's like, okay, well, maybe it's film school from start to finish is not for everyone, so we'll offer like an 8-week in story and screenwriting, and then a 4-week in cinematography, and then a 4-week in editing, something like that.
Yeah. It's impressive because I don't think a lot of people realize, you know, the full scope that goes behind the scenes. It's one thing when you see it on TV or you know, on the big screen, you don't realize all the behind the scenes that happens and the moving parts. And I love that y'all are bringing that to the table and to the forefront to help, you know, so they can have an idea of what they can do and specialize in, essentially.
So tonight we're filming another scene, and there's going to be three people on camera, and you don't realize it, but behind the camera there are 20, 25 people. Right. And sometimes, you know, on a big production, there's far more than that.
Yeah.
And you never see that. Mm-hmm. You just don't know.
Yeah.
So we're trying to, we kind of think of it as introducing students to the studio and the etiquette, you know, let's roll camera, let's roll audio, quiet on set, that kind of deal.
And just how to act on a film set, because a lot of people don't understand, like, there is a certain etiquette, and it's a pretty rough business. So if you show up on set acting crazy, you know, you'll get kicked off real fast.
Or 10 minutes late.
Or 10 minutes late.
Yeah, no one puts up with that. So so we're very patient and trying to get people to understand that in the professional environment, there's no excuses.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really no excuses.
Yeah, and our little tagline is education, exposure, and experience, because that's what we want to do is, like, educate them, give them the theory. This is why we do this with lights and camera and sound. And then give them, like, the exposure to it. This is how it works on set. And then the experience of, okay, now they're the ones on cameras. They're the ones on sound. And so two of the films we're showing, hopefully, we already committed to it. So we're going to show something. It's all student done. Me and Rob are leading it, but our students are running the cameras. They're running sound. They're running the slate. They're pretty much doing everything on set.
Yeah. Man, wow. That's a great experience for them and exposure. And then so in the film festival, I know it's over 3 days, so from outside, like a layman's term, looking in, like if I hear this, I'm like, well, okay, what all does it entail, like a film festival? Because some people want to know, some people don't. Some people have an idea, like me, I really don't have a full clue of it. So kind of walk me through, like, what exactly is a film festival?
Well, we're doing things a little bit different, but November 2nd is a Thursday night, and it'll happen in our studio. The film festival happens at South Point Church, and we are in the backside of South Point Church. So that Thursday night will be a hands-on workshop. Anybody that wants to come in and use a remote follow focus or remote video, use a jib and a camera, do some things like that, get hands-on and see what happens. They can come hang out with us and get a crash course in, you know, being on set. And then the Friday and Saturday are the film blocks. So Friday night we'll have a couple film blocks. And then Saturday.
And then so Saturday we'll have, during the weekend we'll have films from all over the world. A lot of them will be from the Mid-South, from Tennessee, from Mississippi. And then on Saturday we're going to show, do a DAI showcase and show some of the films that we've done in the past and premiere those two new short films that we have. And then we'll also have our year one program graduating on that day. So we're going to do their graduation.
So we'll have a quick little ceremony and present some diplomas, certificates.
Not accredited, but very nice looking certificates.
Absolutely. And you said it's year one. So if somebody was to, if they don't do the segments you are talking about rolling into possibly next year, that it's actually a year-long program to really kind of get the hands-on, or is it more than that?
Well, that's what it was this year, but because of people not wanting to wait until their specific topic rolls around, we're going to break it up. And we're also going to start an additional day. We meet on Tuesday nights for film school. So we're adding a Thursday night, and we're calling that Film Factory. And that's by invitation on. We're looking only, we're looking for young filmmakers that want to come in and produce films, produce content. And
So a lot of our year one students are going to transition to that program, and it'll be less education. It'll still be a lot of education, but it's going to be a lot more experience. It's going to be a lot more like, okay, we're making these films, so how do we do it? Let's actually do this.
And filmmaking, you know, people have an idea, there's cameras, there's lights, there's actors, things like that, but we have a lot of things in this film Grand Larceny where it's a girl, she's like waving in a helicopter to get their stolen bikes out of somebody's backyard. This is her mental image of this. She's all camoed up. And then we have a gag where we have to pick bikes up with a chain, like the helicopter's picking them up. So people don't realize that there are stunts and gags that go into this sometimes that take, we're finding out it will kind of eat your lunch when you're on set. And you think, well, this is only going to take a half an hour. And then an hour and a half later, you're like, we're still doing this? Did we get it right? And we're doing things like there's kids riding bikes in this, and one girl is riding on the backpacks of the bike. And that's kind of a tricky move to get a kid to ride a bike, stay in focus, all that. So we set up a car trailer. We'll have our camera and our jib on the front of the car trailer. And the kids on the back locked in, safe and all that, and it looks like they're riding the bike while she's talking talking to the kids.
And that's one of the reasons we started the year-long program, is that if you haven't done it before, you'll never be able to do the next bigger thing. So like when Rob and I came up with this story, Rob wrote it in 2017, and we were not able to do it because it's just a little too high effort. And and even now, I mean, we can do it, but I mean, we are doing it. But
with first year film students, it's a challenge at times. But you know, I'm full of patience. I don't know how that is, but I've got a long fuse.
That's good.
Working with students and stuff, but it's also difficult to get them to understand that real world. You know, you come through, or you don't work again. Or you don't finish that job.
And just kind of giving them the chance to see what it's like on a set, and see the kind of work ethic that you really have to have for this industry.
And it's really cool too, because doing this and going through this, we make lifelong friends, and which is pretty cool in this day and age to have a group of people just really bond. And my wife got her psychology degree, and she says, well, that's called shared traumatic experience. And so when we are working till, you know, 11 o'clock at night, and we're all tired because we all started work at 7 or 8 in the morning, and now we're doing our hobby thing on the side, it gets pretty rough. But we're making some friends, and we have a core group of students that are really connecting and coming up with tons of ideas for our Film Factory program and things that we're going to shoot, everything from 2-minute shorts to 10-minute shorts to who knows.
We're planning a feature next year, and we're going to pitch a series and things like that. So we're kind of snowballing a lot of the productions that we're introducing students to the idea of working on stuff, and then helping to put them in roles that, okay, now you're going to produce something. We're actually going to make something that will hopefully get picked up somewhere.
That's something we haven't mentioned. I have a young guy on Follow Focus now, and while he's on Follow Focus, that's a one job on set, right? He's looking at a monitor, he's focusing the camera, so we don't have to worry about that. I recognize that every time we need something, he is wanting to set down the follow focus wheel and go and grab stuff. And it's like, he's paying attention at a higher level. Mm. So we're trying to give people opportunities to move through different roles,
sure.
crew roles, just to figure out what, you know, how they think and how they operate. Mm-hmm. What is their attention span? Do they get bored with doing one thing? And I liken it, all these young guys love the superhero world, the Marvel and DC and yep. all of that. Mm-hmm. Just, I have a rule on our film set, they can't talk about superhero movies. So we talk about yeah. our film that we're making, because that yeah. was a problem years ago.
Yeah.
People are getting a chance to move through the roles and figure out what they're doing. And I've finally caught their attention, I think, by likening it to, hey, we're trying to discover your superpower. Mm. You have a superpower.
Yeah, I like that.
And you're going to somehow... it's going to show up somewhere. Let's figure out what that is.
Yeah.
Quick. Because
yeah.
if you can figure it out when you're 20 or 30 years old, can you imagine how oh, life wow. would be if I'd known when I was 17 years old I could be a filmmaker?
Yeah.
It's like, go figure. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that and respect that. The fact you're showing them so much behind the scenes, and they can go to the film festival and they get their hands on things and kind of look and feel and see what it's like to operate certain equipment or even what it looks like, because, you know, it's one thing to see it on screen. You don't know what goes on behind.
We're taking a second to thank our sponsors. Follow App. The Follow App is the long-term solution for networking, instantly connecting you to those frequently missed opportunities to find the right referral partner or new client to grow your business. Wisdom Integrators. Are you a business owner and is technology getting in the way of your business? If your computers are slow, your website is horrible, or your business needs more efficiency, then it's time to reach out to Aaron Kozort and Wisdom Integrators. Would you like to be a sponsor? Contact Debbie King at 662-342-6114 for more information. Be sure to share and subscribe for more business resources. Now back to South Haven Business Beat and host Robbie Yates.
Stuff that you're going to be showing to there, are they all going to be full-length films? Are they going to be shorts? You kind of mentioned a minute ago.
Well,
They'll be shorts. This
shorts?
Year.
Okay.
Yeah, we want to branch out and do feature films, but right now what we're discovering is the best way to like show variety is to keep it to shorts.
Okay.
And it gives indie filmmakers, especially local, a chance to actually get their films programmed and get them like the most attention we can give on those films.
That's good, because when you said film earlier, I thought, and you're showing a full-length film like twice. I'm like, that's great, but I'm like, who's going to sit through that? Some people may, some not, but they're shorts. Okay,
shorts,
makes sense.
Yeah,
and I love the short film format, too, in a festival. We had a couple come a couple years ago, and they sat, and they showed up and said, hey, we can only stay for like an hour, and we got to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's cool. I understand that. Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
They went and sat down, and then I would see them out getting a slice of pizza. I was like, you guys are still here. Y'all been here for like 4 hours. 4 hours.
Yeah.
And they're like, every time we get ready to leave, another one starts and we're just like glued in.
That's great.
And they actually told me it's the best day of movie entertainment they've ever experienced, because they got to see how many films in 8 hours?
On that Saturday, we showed more than that, because there's 20 in some blocks sometimes. Yeah, yeah. So probably closer to 60.
Wow.
And I can't emphasize enough to anyone that's thinking about coming. They're fantastic films. Mm-hmm. Radicchi.
Yeah. Radicchi. Well, it's Italian, so we don't know how to say it. But.
Beautiful film, moving film about a grandma and grandkids, and in Italy, from Italy. We had such a cute film from Iran, wasn't it? The kids in inside a spaceship that they made out of foil and had all the knobs and had all the instruments and things like that. Just an incredible film. There's just so many things to see, and you get to see different cultures and see how they tell a story.
And it's stuff that, like, you could look for it out there, but you're not going to find, like, such a mix like what we're curating.
Sure.
And that's one of the things we like to do, is this is a mix that, like, you're not going to be able to get anywhere else.
From live action to animation to things that appeal to a kid, and that's what we're understanding too, is you can make something for a kid, but you can put humor in it that's adults are going to get. Our 11-year-old actors in this film, Grand Larceny, don't understand any of my jokes, my references to David Bowie or movie references.
Nice. Well, I really respect it, because then you're showing these people, and especially like somebody that are interested in film, really like those other avenues for, because if they want to get into the industry but they're not sure how or what to do, and all they only see what's on TV and movies, then it relies, I know I've said a few times, behind the scenes of what's going on. I love how y'all are exposing them to everything. You really open up the playbook and say, hey, this is what it is. This what, this is the world out there, and kind of helping them and guide them, steward them to find their superpower.
Yeah, and we're doing that purposely because we hope to build a local film community that we start working, start hiring each other, start creating together. And we have a studio with podcast spaces, and we built a bedroom set for Grand Larceny in there, put a window in it, shine light through it, really sell that. But we're hoping to build a film community and draw filmmakers together to use our space, use our gear, collaborate with us, and you know, really kind of have something local that we can pull off instead of going to Atlanta or LA, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Just showing people in DeSoto County, especially young people, that this is something that is achievable. Because that's something that me and Rob talk about. I did not know that, what, 10 years ago, that this was an achievable thing. We could actually make our own films.
Yeah.
So that's the big thing for us, is just showing people in DeSoto County, this is a ripe area to do this.
Yeah. When you talk about the younger generation, do you ever have some of them come like, oh, I have an idea of how to edit or whatnot because they use their phone so much? Has there ever been a conflict or been something maybe possibly overcome, a stumbling block for somebody that's so used to using their phone for filming and editing?
Yeah, we're trying to, I don't have any problem with someone making a film with a phone because they're fantastic cameras. They're getting better and better.
Yeah.
But sitting down at a computer and realizing that you can, you know, ramp the speed up in something or just being creative in the edit. I think sometimes when I see people edit on a phone or a laptop or something, they're giving up an opportunity to achieve excellence in an edit because it's kind of simplified and they don't want to go to the trouble because maybe it's a little more cumbersome. But if you sit down at a real edit bay and start working, you know, you start coming up with ideas for sound and sound design and music design.
Well, and I think you'd be surprised how bad young people are at computers because they're on the phone so much.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You put them in front of a computer. Some young people type like 2 words per minute. Like it's
with their thumbs on it.
Yeah, it's crazy bad.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't think that because young people are supposed to be, you know,
tech savvy, yeah.
Right. So that is a bit of a hurdle, just having that open mind to go from, like, I'm not a Mac user, but we are Mac users.
Okay.
Right? But I use Windows as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I had to learn Mac, and I also know Windows, so I have those two skill sets.
And he's a better man for it.
That's what some people say. But that's something our students struggle with, too. Like, either they come from the phones or just Windows, and they're like, well, I'm not going to learn Mac. And it's like, yeah, to do film, you have to learn both.
Yeah.
You just have to – you're going to have to know so many programs. And that's something like editing on your phone. That's totally viable. Like, we have plenty of kids that, like, edit on free software, and we don't. But like, I see the value in it. I'm not going to, like, tell them, hey, you have to get on the professional stuff. But it's just being willing to learn and go, okay, this can carry you to a certain point. Mm-hmm. But then at a certain point, you need more professional software, specifically just have to be sitting at a computer.
Yeah, it's not a detriment. I feel like it's more an extended or expounded upon, you know, benefit for them to learn all that. Because if they go through a program, let's say then, you know, they're in film, but there's no telling where that can springboard them to something else.
Yeah.
And they go, hey, man, I learned this, you know, from, you know, Rob and Josiah, and then from that I was able to take it to whatever level else they want to, so they can look back on it and then owe y'all a lot of gratitude.
And that's part of discovering their superpower.
Yeah.
You know, they may sit down at a computer for the first time and we show them how to use Google Sheets to create a call sheet or shot list or something like that, and they're like, and we can tell pretty quick if someone is like understanding what we're teaching them and they like latch onto it and say, okay, we might be finding something. We're constantly identifying, hey, notice that they're constantly listening to everything in the room. It's like, okay, we're honing in on a superpower.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't just teach filmmaking for the sake of teaching filmmaking. You know, I was involved in youth ministry at Colonial Hills Church for years, and I did a music ministry where we have multiple youth bands and things like that. And what we're doing now is we liken it to ministry. But a lot of people, you know, we don't just reach young Christian kids or anything.
Yeah.
So people come in and we liken it to building relationships and building community. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, we're able to teach a firm handshake, a look in the eye, honesty.
Yep.
We have, sometimes people say, hey, you know, I'm late because, it's like, no, just tell me I'm sorry for being late. That's all I need to hear. I don't need the reasons.
And young people need, and I speak as a young person, I don't exclude myself in this, but they need someone to like look them in the eye and be like, that excuse is not good. That's a bad excuse. Because got a lot of young people that are like, I'm sorry, I work a full-time job. That's why I'm late. And I'm like, so do I. I'm not late.
We had one student years ago show up, and I was like, are you okay? And she was like, I work 6 hours today. I'm wiped out. It's like, okay, good for you. I'm on my second 6 hours today.
Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of like helping young people build that work ethic. Because a lot of people like sit around and say, well, you know, young people don't have work ethic. That is true. But it doesn't mean that they like they can't learn it. And it doesn't mean that they're stuck that way.
Yeah.
And that's something that, luckily for film, like you have to have an insane amount of work ethic and be a self-starter and just kind of do things yourself. And if you're open to that, you can learn. Because I don't think I was a self-starter when I got into it. But now I might be because I just have to learn everything.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm glad you said that because some people interested, I know they'll hear this, and want to go to the film festival, and they think, oh, I can't. But you touched on a great point, like how it wasn't once a self-starter, but now you are, and how it's kind of changed and helped mold you. So I think for a lot of younger people, they would hear this. I don't want them to get deterred. I'm like, that's so much to do. But at the same time, it really isn't because y'all can fine-tune it. But I love the fact that you just said that. So, man, I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yep. So the film festival was, I know, what's the way we can get a whole, is there a website or anything for it?
DeSotoFilmFestival.com for tickets, more information. We'll be putting the block schedule up. We're probably not going to list all the specific films because it's a lot of information to put at the last minute. But go get the tickets. And if anybody wants to reach out to us directly and say, hey, I'm bringing a group. Can I get a discount? Oh, yeah, we'll set you up.
Okay.
We'll hook you up. Our goal is to get people there. It's not to make money. It's to get people there. Once they experience this, hopefully like our friends did, it's like, wow, best day I've spent a long time with their, how old was he? 13 years old about the time.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't leave. They were just fascinated.
Only, had an hour and they stayed the whole time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So that's DeSotoFilmFestival.com is the best way to get in touch with you all. And Rob, Josiah, thank you so much for what you're doing for the county and then also on like on the global level as well, because y'all bring a lot of international stuff in here. So I respect the heck out of the work that you both are doing. I know it is not an easy feat just for hearing what you say. So I appreciate it and commend you both for that. So thank you so much for your time and thank you for being on the show.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you all. Yeah.
Please visit www.southhavenbusinessbeat.com for more episodes. We would like to thank the following sponsor, Pure Focus Media. Have an event coming up? Let us capture all the moments that will create memories that will last a lifetime with our professional photographer and videographer. Also announcing our new digital selfie photo booth. Book with us today. This podcast is brought to you by the South Haven Chamber of Commerce. We know relationships create commerce. Want to join the South Haven Chamber? Visit www.southhavenchamber.com. Be sure to share and subscribe. Thanks for watching.